Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this meeting of the Plans Committee for Charnwood Borough Council. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be made available on the Council's website following the meeting. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. However, people wishing to film or record the meeting should do so in a way that does not disrupt the business of the meeting. Also, so that the meeting is not disturbed, could I ask everyone present to please turn off your mobile phones or switch them to silent and ensure that the meeting is distraction-free. In addition, please turn off any smart speakers on phones like Alexa, Siri, Cortana, etc., as these record conversations, and this could be a breach of GDPR. Voting will be undertaken by a show of hands, for, against, or abstain. Speakers will be called forward at the appropriate time. Speakers have 5 minutes each, and they will be timed by the Democratic Services Officer. When you have 1 minute of time remaining, you will be advised. We also have a traffic light system, which is red, green, and amber. Green when you're talking, amber when you've got a minute left, and red, I'm afraid I just cut you off. And then, so we, that's how we do it. And if, when you're giving your five-minute talk addressed to the committee, I will be asking you if you would like to have a verbal warning that you've only got 1 minute left. We have three applications today. Item one is application number P220136/2 to do with the High Street Quorn. We have one speaker present, which is the applicant, Mr. Stevens. Thank you. And Councillor Shepherd is the ward councillor. He is unable to be here tonight, but he has sent me a statement which I will read out. Item 2, application number P220653/2 is Charnwood Borough Council, 20 Lilac Close, Loughborough. And we have three speakers. We have an objector, the applicant, and the ward councillor. Application 3 is number P220652, which is for Elms Drive Quorn, and there are no speakers to that application. Have we received any apologies?
Through you, Chair, apologies received from Councillor Gerrard, and Councillor Murphy will be substituting. Apologies also received from Councillor Hamilton. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 2 on the agenda. The committee is asked to confirm as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 23rd of June, and I would like to ask the committee to confirm by a show of hands that the minutes are correct. Agreed? Thank you very much. I'll sign the minutes and they'll be passed to the officer at the end of the meeting. Item 3, questions under committee procedure 12.8. I've not been advised of any questions.
None received, Chair.
Thank you. For information, disclosable pecuniary interests and registrable interests relate to entries that are included or should be included on a councillor's register of interests. Non-registrable interests relate to any other matters. Are there any disclosures of interest?
Chair, thank you. I have on the item one, Mr. Stevens. He's a personal friend of the family, so I'm going to leave the room. Okay?
Thank you very much, Councillor Ranson. Are there any other further? Councillor Gray?
I'd just like to say that although I'm going to speak, I do come with an open mind and will take into account all information and be impartial.
That's not possible. If you're speaking, you cannot be part of the discussion or the vote, and you will leave the table. and go to the speaker's rostrum. Okay? Thank you. We now move on to item 5, which are the planning applications. And item 1, as stated, is application P220136/2 for Mr. Stevens, 32 High Street, Quorn, Leicestershire. Please note, Councillor Ransom is leaving the room as per her declaration. I will now go to the planning officer, please.
Thank you, Chair. So, item 1 is for the retrospective application for a structure over an existing outdoor seating area and within an established beer garden at the White Hart Pub in Quorn. So, site location. The existing and proposed floor plans. The floor plan's obviously built as it's retrospective. And then the elevation plans as built. And the block plan. Okay, now some photos. This is the site as viewed from the High Street on the opposite side. So we'll be looking at the wooden structure to the back of to the principal building. And the seating area as viewed from the site entrance. As you can see, there's also parking down the side and also to the rear. And that's the seating area viewed from the rear of the site with the navy and also the unpainted wooden structure there. This is the internal layout left to right from the rear. And the details of the development's materials. So unpainted timber horizontal planks for the external walls. Etched glazing with stainless steel clamps for the windows, and for the roofing, profiled aluminium insulated deck, and that's coloured grey. And this is the existing outdoor seating to the rear of the site as well. Okay, the key considerations are the principle of development, design and impact on the street scene, impact on residential amenity, impact on heritage assets and highway safety. So, in principle, it's the development's acceptable, subject to all other material considerations being acceptable. As we move on to design, the development's to the rear of the property, but is visible from the street, as seen in the pictures. It's of a modest size and will be subservient to the principal building, and will be built and has been built with sympathetic and high-quality materials, which complement the built form of the area, in accordance to our design policies. Moving on to residential amenity, we note that concerns have been raised through the consultation process regarding the generation of noise from the outdoor areas of the site. The use of the beer garden is, however, already established and is not for consideration through this application. And any noise as a result of the use of the outside area would be a matter for environmental health to investigate and cannot be controlled via this application. There is already a seating area, and the proposal simply provides a cover for the existing seating area. This could potentially allow patrons to sit outside for longer in the cooler months. However, there are other ways of providing outdoor seating that do not require planning permission. For example, the use of parasols and outdoor heaters. And the structure is therefore not considered to result in a detrimental impact on its own. Comments from Environmental Health have requested a condition relating to noise generation from the built-in speakers, not the structure itself. As this does not need planning permission, that's the implementation of the speakers, it would be unreasonable to impose a condition restricting noise output. And it has been considered in regards to other residential amenities, for example, outlook, privacy, daylight and sunlight, and is not considered to be detrimental impact to these amenities and is therefore in accordance with our development plan policies. As we move on to heritage, the site's situated within the Quorn Conservation Area with two Grade 2 listed buildings in the vicinity. The Quorndon Fox to the north and Quorn Court to the south. A full assessment has been made in the officer's report, which has all been given. And after consultation with Charnwood's conservation officer, officers have concluded the proposal will have a neutral impact on the character and appearance of the conservation area and the setting of the listed buildings. As we move on to highways, the structure will not interfere with the existing and established parking provision for the site, which is located to the rear and side of the structure and wider building, as seen in the pictures. The access will remain unaltered and traffic generation will remain unaffected as the outdoor space was already in use for patrons of the pub as a smoking and beer garden just uncovered at the time. So, to conclude, we recommend only approving the structure, not the use as a beer garden. That includes eating, drinking, talking and the provision of music. And as it's a retrospective application, officers recommend the application be granted unconditionally.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilkins. We have one speaker, Mr. Stevens. If you'd like to come forward, please. And if you would take the seat behind Councillor Forrest, who's just moving sideways. That one there, yes, please. And if you just take the seat, you'll see on the panel in front of you near the microphone, there is a funny little thing with a speaker. Indicate that's it.
That one.
Yes. Yeah. And you have 5 minutes, and the Democratic officer will put the traffic light system on. Would you like the Democratic officer to let you know when you have 1 minute left?
No,
verbally?
I'm fine, thank you.
You're fine. You. Okay, so when you're ready.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ben Stevens. I'm the landlord and business owner of the White Hart Inn, Quorn, 32 High Street. Firstly, I'd like to thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to speak and respond today in regards to the retrospective planning for the covered outdoor seating area to the rear of the building. My wife, myself, my three children live above the property and have done in some capacity since taking over the business nearly 4 years ago. The pub and business prior to this were struggling and run down and had very little to offer the local community. I'm happy to say we have turned the business around through hard work and foresight, especially with the recent pandemic taking place and creating such uncertainty for many businesses, especially the hospitality sector. We now play a large role in the local community, boasting 4 petanque teams, 2 dart teams, 3 local football teams, amongst having raised well over £10,000 for local charities, also hosting the extremely successful local food trail twice a year. When COVID struck in early 2020, it became very clear to myself and my wife that we needed to react quickly and cleverly to enable us and our businesses to survive, also the apple tree in Quorn, as this virus was not just going to go away. Hence why we decided to update, modernise and utilise our already great outdoor space. The outdoor covered area had already existed for well over 10 years and was being used in exactly the same manner as it is today. All we have done is update and modernise the structure and partly extend the covering to the existing area. We realised quickly that we were going to be forced to trade outside for a long period going forward by the COVID rules set out by the government. Also, throughout this indoor to outdoor trading period, we erected 2 of our marquees to create extra seating to keep our business afloat and trading. All activities that were usually housed inside, such as music, live entertainment, etc., were now hosted outside as per government instructions. Please note, these activities have now resumed back to inside other than on special occasions, and the marquees have now been removed. While we understand that it must have been frustrating for residents during COVID with this inside-outside trading under government guidance, this quite simply is not what happens now. In response to comments received on Jack Wilkins' report, all live music is played inside the building. It is not played through our sound system of 2 speakers facing inwards towards the building. It is played through the entertainers' PA systems, which we ensure are facing inwards and are kept at sensible volume as not to cause detrimental effects to our neighbours. While on occasion we have an outdoor event for charity or local community events such as the food trail, it is finished and reasonable time and managed within our licensing requirements. It is also advertised on community social media as to make everyone aware. What we do differently now compared to pre-COVID. Music from the White Hart has always been played prior to COVID until 11:30. We no longer do this, making sure we finish at a very reasonable 10:30 on Friday and Saturday nights. I'd also like to mention that the music starts at 8:30 with a break in the middle. Prior to COVID, we served alcohol until 12 a.m. and people were out by drinking up time. We now finish serving at 11 p.m, cutting our service time by an hour. These changes have been put into place out of respect for our community so as not to cause too much disruption. So in summary, lockdown silence has exacerbated this issue, with people becoming used to no noise and forgetting this busy pub and pubs around have been here since 1780. The partly covered outdoor area, which we are here to discuss, has no relevance to the noise comments. In fact, the areas that are used for Petanque and the raised patio beer garden area are much closer to the outer edge of our property that we're getting complaints from. And these areas are as busy as they have ever been, as I imagine our neighbouring public houses are also. Just to reiterate, we understand last year was hard. It was extremely hard for us, even more so with the cost of services going up. We have never wanted to manage an open-air venue. It was just necessary and requested from the government at the time. We have now ventured into uncertain times where people do still want to sit in a ventilated area. People's habits have changed. A lot of people feel safer outside. If you have lost people due to COVID, as we have, then I'm sure you'll understand this. We have withdrawn our other planning application for the back of our car park, as we do not want to cause any issue with our neighbours. We work closely with Environmental Health, checking sound levels and doing walkarounds. We also have door staff on to manage people leaving and entering our venue. The updated outdoor area has been welcomed from the local community and beyond, and we are very proud that it's making a lot of people happy every day. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stephen. Now, the other person that wanted their views put forward is Councillor Shepherd, who is the ward councillor, one of the ward councillors, and he is not able to be here tonight, but he has sent me a statement that I would like, that I'm reading out. This is his statement, so this is from Councillor Richard Shepherd. Environmental Health have requested that a condition be placed on the application, if approved, to ensure the speaker provision does not cause amplified music to be detrimental to the amenity of nearby residents. I support this request. The report also says that any noise issues cannot be controlled via this planning application. The conclusion explains that no conditions are required because this is a retrospective application. This situation is clearly not satisfactory. It appears that a condition could have been imposed if the application were not retrospective. I suggest that the applicant should be invited to apply again, expressing a willingness to accept a condition, thus showing good neighbourliness. The current application should be refused to allow for that. The word required should surely be replaced by possible. That is Councillor Richard Shepherd's statement. Now, Mr. Wilkins or Ms. Knott, would you like to come back on what you've heard so far?
Thank you, Chair. Just in regards to Councillor Shepherd's comments, I just want to make members aware of the requirements of planning conditions. As Mr. Wilkins made clear in his presentation tonight, we are not approving the use of the land, we are approving the structure. So the use of a land as a beer garden is established and has been used, you've heard, for some time. So what we're looking at tonight is only the structure. So the, you know, the use of it is not for consideration. The speakers themselves do not require planning permission. They're within the structure. They're not, you know, there isn't a planning permission requirement, and therefore the condition is not reasonable or necessary. I just want to read out the requirements of the MPPF on conditions, and it states planning conditions should be kept to a minimum and only imposed where they are necessary, relevant to planning and to the development to be permitted, enforceable, precise and reasonable in all other respects. Now, I don't think a condition is necessary or relevant to planning because the speakers do not need planning permission. And that's the justification that the officers are giving. So just to provide that clarity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I have three speakers. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. I sit on the plans, the licensing committee. That would be a licensing thing. They would have to go for a review. If the noise was a nuisance to the area, then a review of the license could be asked for. But I don't think it will be needed. I think the speaker spoke very, very well, Chair. And I think it's a very well-built building. It looks nice. It's not built out of breeze blocks or anything like that. It doesn't look scruffy. It looks in keeping with the site. Therefore, I propose we go with officer's recommendation, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Lowe said almost what I wanted to say. I mean, it's not often I agree with him, but we can agree on this. So I'd like to second the proposal. The officers recommend it. One comment I do have. I know we can't make this as a condition, understand the officers' reasons about the noise, but could we put it as an informative after the conditions that the environmental health recommendation as an informative only, just to stay on the planning permission for future use? I don't know if that's possible.
Thank you, Chair. I would say not. I mean, we can put an informative on, but the informative doesn't carry any weight. Environmental health suggested it couldn't be an informative. So in terms of an informative, all we could really say is to be mindful of their neighbours, and it wouldn't really achieve much. Like Councillor Law says, it is a licensing and environmental health issue that could be picked up.
Which I understand that it can't be a condition, which I understand that. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I just thought I'd ask a question on that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Grimley. Councillor Capleton.
Sorry. Yes, I agree with pretty much everything's been said up to now. The only reservation I had when I read all the notes here was the noise, and I was rather surprised that no complaints were actually coming from Sanders Road. Not all that far away over the back, but it's buffered by a lot of trees. But nevertheless, that obviously is a licensing matter, and I think maybe the complainant should be told to consult the licensing committee. So, yes, if it hasn't been seconded, I'm happy to second that.
Thank you. I have Councillor Lowe, who proposed acceptance and recommendation, and Councillor Grimley, who seconded his proposal. Do I have any other further speakers?
Before we conclude this, I'd just like to thank the Speaker for spending the time to come along to this meeting and speaking on his behalf.
Thank you very much. I think we all agree with that. It's probably a busy time for him, and to take time out to come and address us has been very helpful to the decisions made by this committee. So I have a proposer, I have a seconder. All those in favour of officer's recommendation?
Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair. The motion was carried, so officer's recommendation accepted with a unanimous vote in favour.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Stevens. Could someone go and let Councillor Ranson know? Thank you, that she may come back into the room. Thank you. We now move on to the second application we're looking at today, which is application number P220653-2. Councillor Gray, you'll have to leave the table, please, if you take a seat at the back, because you, I'm afraid, as you have called it in, you don't take any part in the discussion, and we'll call you forward when you are ready to speak. Now, we've also had a late request to speak to this from Tracy Cooper. Is Tracy Cooper here? Thank you. This I'm put to the committee that you will accept this late request to speak. As you all know, this the Planning Explorer section of the Charnwood Council's planning documentation was out of order for a couple of weeks. Therefore, Ms. Cooper was a bit late in putting in her application to speak. So, do you have anyone complain about that, or can that's acceptable? Okay, all of those are right for Ms. Cooper to speak. Thank you. Right, so we'll now have Louise Winson is going to present the case to us, the application to us. Louise.
Thank you, Chair. Tonight, the second item for members to consider is an application for the retention of a part retention of a 2.4-metre high boundary fence and gate at number 20 Lilac Close in Loughborough. The item has been referred to you in line with the Council's constitution, as the Council is the applicant for the application. So as previously mentioned, it's for the part retention of a 2.4-metre high boundary fence along the boundaries of the property. Obviously, at 2.4 metres high, that is a little bit higher than what would normally be you would normally see with a residential boundary fence. There is the application is supported by some documentation submitted by the Leicestershire NHS Trust, which sets out that there is a specific reason why a 2.4 metre high fence is needed to this property, and those reasons relate to the future household occupants and their personal circumstances. The document contains sensitive personal information which we can't make publicly available at this time. However, it has been assessed. The evidence has come from the NHS, and as officers we are satisfied that the need for the 2.4 metre high fence has been is necessary in this case. So the application site itself is a single-storey council-owned property situated on the northern side of Lilac Close at the end of the cul-de-sac. It is within divine limits to Loughborough and is surrounded by residential properties. The aerial photo here just provides members with some context to it. So we've got 22 Lilac Close, the neighbouring property to the southeast, 51 Hazel Road to the north, the properties along Atherston Road to the northwest, and 18 Lilac Close to the southwest. So here we've got some photographs of the site. Obviously, the photograph to the top left, that shows from within the site facing onto number 22 Lilac Close. The photograph to the right shows what has been constructed for the fence at the moment, so that is the finished height of the fence on those boundaries. Obviously, it will continue around that side boundary as well with number 22, if granted. And then the photograph at the bottom is taken from the actual cul-de-sac and shows the property itself with the two-storey dwelling at number 22 just to the right there. These photographs are taken from 22 Lilac Close and were submitted by the occupier of the property with their comments on the application, just to show how the site is viewed from their side. Obviously, they've got a single-storey rear extension at the moment and adjacent to the existing fence, and the fence posts there obviously are going to be where the new fence, if permitted, would be positioned. So we've got the proposed site plan and the fencing detail here. I know the colour definition isn't brilliant, but the orange colour around the side and rear boundaries is the extent of the proposed 2.4 metre high fence. We have received some amended plans which reduced the 2.4 metre high fence was to be going along all the way along to the front of the site as well, but we've got them, they have reduced that on this amended plan. So it's the 2.4 metre high fence is literally the extent of the orange bit now, rather than around the entire site. And then obviously the elevation to the right is showing what the fence would look like. So the key considerations for members to consider tonight are visual amenity and impact on neighbouring amenity. With regards to visual amenity, whilst the fence is higher than a standard 2 metre high fence, which you would typically see in a residential area, it is situated almost entirely to the rear of the property with natural screening provided by the dwellings themselves. The style of this fencing proposed is typical of that of boundary fences between dwellings, and for these reasons, we've concluded that the development does not result in significant harm to visual amenity in line with policies CS2, EV1 and the design SPD. With regards to neighbouring amenity, the height and location of the fence has been assessed in accordance with the provisions of the development plan. The provisions of the development plan, which seek to prevent a loss of light and privacy and outlook to neighbouring dwellings. The nearest neighbouring property potentially affected by the development is number 22 Lilac Close to the southeast, and this property has a side-facing window and a door to the rear elevation, which serve non-habitable rooms. The window serves a bathroom, and the door serves a utility room, which are both non-habitable rooms and therefore carry less weight in the assessment of proposals. Following careful consideration of these issues, it is the officer opinion that whilst the fence is higher than a typical boundary fence between neighbouring properties, the impact of the extra 40 centimetres in height would not result in a severe loss of amenity to the neighbouring properties along Atherston Road, Hazel Road and Lilac Close when assessed against the relevant provisions of policies CS1, EV1, H17 and the design SPD. In conclusion, then, it is considered that the application is acceptable and members are recommended to approve planning permission in accordance with the provisions set out on the page 22 of the agenda pack, and also given consideration to the provisions of the extras report as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. You've all had a copy of the extras report and have seen that. We now have the three speakers. Ms. Cooper, if you'd like to come down and take the seat, please. Thank you. You will have 5 minutes, and there is a traffic light system on the red. If you get to red, that I'm afraid we just cut you off. It starts at green, and when you've got 1 minute left, it will be amber. Would you like a verbal reminder by the officer when you've got 1 minute left?
No.
Okay. Now, on your panel in front of you, you will note the speaker button. You see it? So once you press that and start speaking, that's when your time starts. Okay?
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak this evening. My name's Tracy Cooper. I live at number 22 with my husband and my children. We've been there for nearly 20 years. This whole development we found incredibly stressful. Charnwood Borough Council bought the property back in 2019. It was left just to overgrow and go into disrepair for over 18 months. We didn't know who it belonged to. We had homeless people coming round the back. So Charnwood Borough Council never let us know that they'd bought the property, and it would have been nice to have known. We didn't know who to get in touch with when there were any problems. And then eventually all this project has started. There's been four sets of plans, numerous adjustments made to the plans. I do feel that there's been a lot of I'm not really sure how to word it, to be honest. I'll leave that, actually. I do feel that it's not always been treated fairly. I do feel that the council have swayed things for themselves. I feel that the report that was given for today, I do feel that that was very biased. I don't feel that it's got anything to do... there's a lot of it in there which doesn't have anything to do with planning, such as that I've got conifers in my garden, I've got a shed in my garden, the raised patio, which is not a raised patio, it's just some slabs outside of my back door. It's only a very small garden, and an 8-foot fence in quite a small garden that only runs probably 4 fence panels in length, it is incredibly overbearing, and then it's been put up against my fence. It just does not look good at all. It looks very not in keeping at all. All I can see is sky, and, you know, like I say, I've lived there for 20 years and really enjoyed being up there. I don't even feel like I want to go home half the time now with what's going off. It's ugly. It's very, very ugly. And the gate, the 8-foot gate, is going to be put at an angle because it's so high. It actually goes over the guttering and the fascia boards of the bungalow. It's actually going to stand taller than my extension. It's going to be like a tunnel going down the side of my property. And then you're going to have a drop all of a sudden of 2 feet down the drive. It just does not look nice. It just does not look nice at all. And, you know, I think as well that I'm wasting my time, really. I feel I'm wasting my time here tonight because the way that it's been put up, it's not an easy fix to cut down. You know, you've got your letters, you know, I don't know. I just think that no matter what I say, it will go ahead. That's all I have to say, really.
Thank you very much. But you have been able to address the Plans Committee, and it's their decision. If you'd like to take your seat.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. Right, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Cooper. We now have Peter Oliver. I'd like to come forward, Mr. Oliver, who's the head of Landlord Services and is the applicant. Thank you. As the same rules apply, Mr. Oliver, do you want the Democratic officer to give you a verbal warning?
No,
that's okay. So when you're ready, I'm not sure. I think it might be the one on your... the other one. Sorry. Oh, dear. We've got speakers in all directions. Try that one. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
That one, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bungalow accommodation of this nature is in very short supply, and the council purchased this property from the open market to meet a specific housing need. To meet housing need, it is often necessary to modify properties. In this instance, as you will have seen from the documentation, Leicestershire Partnership NHS Trust has clearly set out that the fence at a height of 2.4 metres is necessary due to the specific circumstances and needs of the future householders. We did give consideration to reducing the height of the fence along the boundary, and a further inquiry was made to Leicestershire Partnership Trust in this respect. However, as the committee will see from the documentation, the position has been reiterated and the Trust has stated that a fence at 2.4 metres is necessary to meet the needs and circumstances of the householders. I would add that there are no alternative bungalow properties in the council's existing housing stock to meet the specific needs and circumstances of the future householders.
Thank you very much, Mr. Oliver. If you'd like to take your seat. Councillor Gray is the ward councillor. Are there the same rules you understand? Do you want a warning when you have 1 minute left?
Yes, please, Madam Chair, just in Thank case. You. I don't think I'll be that long.
Thank you.
I would like to say it's very difficult to make a decision when we don't all have the exact facts at our fingertips, but I do understand that there are protected characteristics of the future occupiers of the property. My main concern is the loss of light to the dwelling next door. I know they're not living rooms, it's a bathroom and a utility room, but it will still have an impact on the household. And what I would like to know is there a different way that we can do this, still respect the privacy of the occupants, but possibly do it in a different way by reducing the height of the fence next to 22 Lilac Close to 2 metres, but having a canopy across so that privacy is still maintained. I'm not a builder, I don't know, but I do believe that that is something that could be looked into. And I do believe that's all I really need to say. Otherwise, I do understand the need for the privacy. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Gray. did the officers want to come back?
Thank you, Chair. just in regards to the comments received, I just wanted to draw members' attention to the extras report. I'm sure you've all seen it, but that does clarify that the question was asked to Leicestershire Partnership NHS Trust if the fence could be reduced in height. The need of the fence cannot be fully disclosed. The need hasn't been given as privacy. There is a need, but we can't go into the details of it. But it's very clear from the letter from the NHS Trust that there is a need for a 2.4-metre fence and it cannot be reduced. So I just wanted to reiterate that fact. Just in terms of some of the comments made by the objector saying that there were non-planning issues raised in the report, there was discussion of what was around adjacent to the property to give context. And there are trees, there is a shed in that property, as you saw from the pictures. And there is a slightly raised patio. I don't know if you could just bring that picture up just to... It's not very clear from that picture, but there is a drop from the patio to the garden area. So the information given was factual. And you can see from the third, with a tree in the background with the sky, the picture appears to be taken from that slightly raised patio, and there is a view into that property. So it is slightly higher than what it is on the garden. So I just wanted to bring to members' attention that there is reasons for that to be in the report, and it is context that needs to be understood with the context of the site and the application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start first, Chair. I'm really disappointed in Charnwood Borough Council. We sit on the plans and we constantly moan about retrospective plan applications. Charnwood Borough Council should not need to put a retrospective plan application in. This should have been thought out way before the building work was even started. So I'm really disappointed in that. The second point is I feel like I've got a gun to my head because I'm being told that this is needed, but I'm not being told why it's needed. And I can understand items are very controversial, but without that information, I feel really hard to make that judgment. I've sympathised with the lady that lives at 22 Lilac Close. I understand that 40 centimetres isn't a lot, but I think this could be done in such a better way, Chair. We as a borough could have took her fence down. We could have spoke to her about it. We could have made that job so much nicer. I'm just torn between the devil and the deep blue sea at the moment. So I'll see what other members say, Chair.
I take your point, Councillor, and I'm sure the officers have. We all have as well. This is a difficult one. It might be explained. I don't know whether I'm allowed to that this has come because it's been, it could have been done by delegated. Could you explain that?
So this has come to Plans Committee for a number of reasons. It's a council on development, and it was called in. Now, there was an objection. There are some council applications that can be done as delegated decisions if they're thought to be minor. But if it's a, obviously if it's a call in and if there are objections to it, it does have to come to Plans Committee. So there are instances where some minor works that are planning applications of the council that can be a delegated decision.
Can I come back on that, Chair? There's no reference to call in on the application. I'm looking here, number two, this is heard for the Plans Committee, the application made by Charnborough Council. There's no reference to it being called in there that I can see. And I still can't understand why Charnborough Council have started something that needs to go to come to Plans. They shouldn't be doing it. They just shouldn't be doing it. It's wrong.
I mean, I work for the council, but I'm not part of that department. We are separate. So I know, I cannot comment on how this happened. But as soon as planning saw it and discussed it, it was stopped. And it's here today. Sometimes these things happen and we try to avoid retrospective applications, but it does. But I can't comment on why it happened and how.
Councillor Anson.
Thank you, Chair. I like my colleague in front of me, I'm a little bit bemused. But the fact is, sure, I know the situation is delicate, that obviously it's a situation that we shouldn't be let known, but it is a very delicate situation. Can we not go back and actually take it back to the drawing board and see what can happen for the neighbours? Because it's a 6'4" fence, nearly 7-foot fence, on a dormer, is it, I assume it's a dormer bungalow next door?
Sorry, this is a bungalow. Next door is a two-storey house.
Yes, well, that's...
Number 20
yes.
is the bungalow that the council own. Number 22 is where the objector and the council have spoken to, which is an ordinary two-storey house. So the council...
This also, Chair, gives me the reason that we should be able to go out and see these. This is quite controversial. And it's only my personal opinion, and Chair probably knows we agreed to differ on various things. But if we were able to go out and see it physically, then we would have been able to give a concrete, actual attitude and actual reply to this. I, like my colleague in front of me, I know it has to be because of privacy. It says here, 2.4 metre will be overbearing, yes? And it says here that it has to be done because of privacy for the building, for the council. Am I wrong?
Thank you, Chair. The reason isn't given for privacy. The reason there's a need for this. I appreciate the difficulty of officers saying, we've got information that we can't give to you, but it's medical information, it's private, we can't disclose it. We haven't given a reason because we can't go into the details. We've not said it's for privacy. There is a need for the occupiers of this property and to allow them to live in this property. The letters have been provided by a professional who has, more experience in this situation than any of us do. And it's been justified as to why this fence needs to be 2.4. We have questioned it and we have asked if it could be lower and they have confirmed it's not possible. So if we were to defer this and go back and ask the question, we will get the same answer because we've already asked it.
Thank you.
Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. I'm disappointed the way that Charnwood have handled it, but we've spoken about that and hopefully lessons will be learnt on this, so I won't dwell into that. We've got to look into the planning reasons for what we're looking at. There is obviously a need, understand that things. I work in some type of development of houses for people with special needs and that sort of thing, so I understand that some of these needs need to get confidential. But the fact is, we're looking at a need, or we're looking at application for 2.4 high, is it 2.4 high meter fence? It is higher than the norm. There's no doubt about that. I'm just looking at the sort of comments on the effect on the amenities of the neighbourhood dwellings. It does sort of appear from what we're reading to sort of tick the boxes that are there. Talk about loss of light to, I think, non-habitable rooms. That's right, isn't it? So that's something we can't really consider. Is that correct?
Through you, Chair, that's correct. Bathrooms and utility rooms are not classed as principal habitable rooms, which are primarily occupied within the day, so therefore the weight assigned to the protection of light to an outlook is reduced because of that. It's not as you wouldn't give it as much weight as if it was a lounge window or anything like that.
Okay, thank you. On planning reasons, there's lots of emotions going on here, which I do understand as well. We've not visited. We're slightly disappointed on that. Maybe this is one that we could have visited, but I think we are where we are on this. I would propose officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Grimley. Did you want to come back?
Yeah.
I know I've got two more.
Sorry, Chair, I'm trying to do two things at once. Okay. I'm not doing it very well. I just wanted to reiterate in the report that on page 21, that we've obviously had the discussion about that there's some information that hasn't been disclosed to committee tonight. But I just wanted to highlight the equality implications that are in this report tonight. That isn't necessarily usually in there in that way, but it's just to understand the what we need to do in terms of the Equalities Act and take into consideration. And it does conclude on the second paragraph at the top of page 22, sorry, the first paragraph at the top of page 22, that there isn't a reason in officer's opinion to warrant refusal in this application, and therefore it will not have a detrimental impact upon those with protected characteristics. Rather, it would have a positive impact insofar as the needs of the future residents can be met to allow the full enjoyment of the dwelling and the outdoor private amenity space. So I just want to make sure that members have that in their minds when we're making this decision tonight, because it is an important consideration for this application. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So the problem is then just the dividing fence in between 22 and that's the problem. And it's going to be 8 foot. And the only rooms are non-habitable rooms, which are overlooking the... So, if they're non-habitable, no one's going to be in them to look over, are they? Do you know what I mean? But anyway, so you've got an 8 foot fence, why not make it, if it's 6 foot six, that's an extra 1 foot four, 1 foot six high, why not just angle the top 1 foot six into next doors? That would give a bit more light, wouldn't it? And I've done that before on jobs, you see.
I need to stress the... We haven't said, as officers, the reason is for privacy and look and outlook. I can't go into the details. There is a reason it needs to be 2.4 metres. We haven't given that. We can't get into it. But I just don't want members to focus on this overlooking into a garden and privacy, because that's not where we're directing your attention to. Just to reiterate, the fence that is proposed is the only solution for the needs of those of the property. I appreciate that we're trying to find other solutions to try and make the situation better, but what is in front of you is the only solution.
Capleton, then Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Chair. I went to see this, and all I could see was from the road. And from what I could see of the fence, yes, it is going to be overbearing. But they sort of mitigated a little bit by the fact that the plan we've got to face is north. So the sun comes up in the east and goes round the, obviously to the south of 22. So they get their full sun. And it's only really late afternoon, I think, they'd get a shadow from the fence. I've read through this. I've listened to the debates. I can't see of a planning or a legal reason why it can be turned down. So I'm a second Councillor Grimley's proposal.
Thank you very much, Councillor Capleton. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Chair. I can see there's a need for this fence. I understand things like that. But my main concern is, if it's that close up to the neighbours, I think Charnwood seemed to have ignored the neighbours, in my opinion, and were creating a problem for maintenance in the future against Charnwood again. You know, I just can't see why it wasn't resolved before I even got here. Why is a fence put up to a fence? Thank you, Chair.
I don't think that's for us to enter into discussion, the hows and whys. All we're here is how it's maintained. Everything else is not the duty of this committee, no more than we would say to anyone, a councillor or anybody else, what colour they painted it, how they maintained it. That's not our remit, shall I say. It is how it's done. Now, we can, I think in the Constitution, if necessary, we can ask one of the speakers to come back if we needed to. But if we don't, I have got a proposer and a seconder for this application to accept officers' recommendations. Councillor Lowe.
Ask for an amendment if it would be permitted. Obviously, we're being told that this is needed for the resident to move in. Can we put a memo on there that it's taken down when the resident moves out, so it's only a temporary?
I think I'd pass the officers, but this will always be in the possession of the council for the foreseeable future. And whether that is a condition, we can say that once that this property has a change of tenant, we've got to take the fence down. We don't know, because we don't know what the next tenant could be. But
it would be a very difficult condition. It, as Chair says, the property is owned by the council, so it couldn't be a personal permission in terms of tying it to the applicant, because we are. And in terms of a temporary permission, the guidance on temporary permissions are that they are specific for a temporary period. Now, these people could live there 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. We don't know that. And by putting a temporary permission on, for it to meet the needs of the test, as I talked about earlier in the previous item, it would need to be precise. So we would have to give a timescale. So say, for example, we give 5 years and they still live there, it would have to come back to Plans Committee again, and we'd then give them however long if it was needed. That's not in the spirit of what temporary planning permission should do. It's you get a temporary kind of plans permission and then you either get a permanent or not, it's to see. So I would recommend against that, personally.
Sorry about that, folks. We were just trying to clarify a couple of points. Right, I have no more speakers. I have a proposer and a seconder. Proposed by Councillor Grimley, seconded by Councillor Capleton, that we accept officer's recommendation. Could I see a show of hands, please, for? Against? Oh, sorry, can you just go back up for so we can check? Against? So that is carried. Thank you very much. This has been a very difficult application. I do appreciate your concerns and everything, but we'll now let the speakers leave if they want to, and we'll carry on with the next application. Sorry, could you confirm, Catherine?
Thank you, Chair. Just to confirm the vote, so the proposition was carried with a vote of 8 in favour, 3 against, and there was one councillor not taking part in this discussion.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We move on to planning a third application, which is P220655/2, for starts on page 24 for Mr. Mitchell at 6 Elms Drive, Corn. We have no speakers to this, so it's straight into the presentation by the officer. Thank you, Louise.
Thank you, Chair. So the final item tonight is referred to the Plans Committee, and again in line with the Constitution, as the applicant is a current serving member, current serving officer rather, of the Council. So the application site is at 6 Elms Drive in Corn, which is formed of a two-storey detached dwelling situated in a fairly large plot on the southwestern side of Elms Drive. The site is within the limits to development for Corn and is surrounded by residential properties to all sides. Okay, we've just got the aerial photograph there to provide a little bit more context. And the photographs of the site as existing at the moment. So the application before you to consider tonight is actually formed of five parts. It is first is a single-storey rear extension, a two-storey extension to the south side, which incorporates part of the existing garage and utility room at the ground floor. There's a further first-floor extension to the northern side of the property proposed, along with a raised patio area to the rear, which you can see on the top proposed site plan. There is also alterations to the front car parking area proposed as well, which include the widening of the two existing accesses onto Elms Drive as well. So we've got the existing front and side elevations along with the proposed front and side on this slide, followed by the existing rear proposed rear along with the existing side and proposed side elevations as well. Members may recall considering a previous scheme on this site in February of last year, where permission was granted for a number of quite larger extensions and alterations to the property. This permission obviously remains extant. This application represents a reduction in what members have previously considered and approved. So this here we've got the existing and proposed ground floor plans and first floor plans there as well. So the key considerations for members tonight are obviously set out on this slide. With regards to design and visual amenity, the extensions, whilst visible from the street scene, are considered to be acceptable in terms of design, scale and mass. A condition is also recommended to ensure that appropriate materials are used to ensure that the development simulates well with its surroundings. And it's therefore considered that the scheme complies with the design and quality aspirations as set out in policy CS2EV1, the design SPD, along with the core neighbourhood plan. With regards to neighbouring amenity, the application again has been assessed in accordance with the relevant provisions with the of the development plan with regards to loss of light, privacy or outlook to neighbouring dwellings. There are no windows proposed to cause any overlooking concerns. The development has been assessed as to not result in a substantial loss of light to any neighbouring properties. The provision of the new patio area to the rear would be following the existing ground levels of the site, meaning that there wouldn't be any overlooking issues caused as a result of that. And it's therefore concluded that the development would preserve neighbouring amenity in accordance with the relevant provisions of the development plan. Then finally, with regards to car parking, the application makes provision for 3 parking spaces to the front of the dwelling, and the existing access points are to be widened to improve their ease of use. It is therefore considered that the development complies with policy TR18 of the development plan, along with the provisions of the Leicestershire Highways Design Guide. So in conclusion then, it is considered that the application is acceptable and meets with the provisions of the development plan, and it is recommended that planning permission is granted in accordance with the provisions set out on pages 31 to 32 of your agenda pack. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, with this, I do feel that if it wasn't an officer of the council, it would have been approved under delegated powers. It does tick all the boxes that I can see in the report. No objection. So I recommend officers, praise officers' recommendation.
Councillor Redd.
Thank you, Chair. To confirm the vote, the motion was carried unanimously, so planning permission granted, subject to conditions in the report.
Thank you. I'd like to bring your attention to page 6 of your agenda, that the list of delegations under delegated powers will not be at this committee, as the officer responsible is on leave. The list will come to the next meeting on the 18th of August, so it will probably be a longer list. And the thank you all very much for your attention, and the next meeting is on the 18th of August. So I wish you all a safe journey home, and thank you very much indeed.